it's that time of the month again. Time for the community meeting with Supervisor District 2, Tim Humphrey. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm well, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. Good to have you here, as always. And well, I understand we'll be joined in a little while by Robert Jacques from TRSD. But so tell me what's going on.
Well, you know what? Before I get started, let's give the people a phone number in case.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
We have somebody willing to call us at
That's
some
right.
point in time.
And we threatened to come get you, grab you by the neck, and take you to your phone. Don't let it come to that. Dial often. That is 888-876-5593. And that's 888-ROLLYE. All right.
Well, that ought to be easy to remember.
It should be easy, yes. And that way, it's toll-free no matter where you are, if you're listening online, because this streams as well, or if you're listening over the air on KQSS-FM. Now, of course, if you miss all this, you got a chance to hear it again on KJAA Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Plus, right after the show, we go ahead and digitize it and put it up online, and they stay there forever, Tim.
Well, I'll be done. Well, then we better be careful what we say then.
Exactly. Yes, they're all there. And yeah. KQSS.net will get you every one of these meetings, and we've been doing this for more than a year.
We have been. That's a good thing.
Great. And thank you for doing it.
Well, you're welcome. You know, going through my recent activities, I have attended 3 agenda meetings. I attended a Reagan Day dinner up in Payson, attended a central regional council meeting, a CAG meeting, held a Tonto Basin community meeting. Today I was out at Roosevelt at 1 o'clock doing a public meeting out at Roosevelt. Well attended. We had probably 25 people there. And the neat thing about those meetings is Jeremy Plain from the Forest Service was there. Good. George Glocko from the state was there. We had Sergeant Don Engler there from the Sheriff's Office. We had Animal Control. And we had the gentleman from the Tonto National Monument. So it was good. It was a good meeting. It was informative to the people, and the people had some issues that got with us. So it was a good meeting. And then attended over the weekend. I attended the Gila County Cattle Growers meeting and steak fry. Their once a year deal up at Green Valley. It was really pretty.
Yeah.
And they had some interesting speakers there on different issues going around about our cattle, and they also had Forest Service and Game and Fish and everybody there to. Kind of everybody trying to work together to keep this ball rolling for Gila County.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. An outreach program.
Yeah. And then last week, I believe, attended a TRSD meeting where the board was there, and Congressman Tom O'Halloran was there, and Al Gamaros, Globe Mayor, Neil Jensen, and it was a meeting just informing the congressman of, you know, what the need of this is and what it's doing kind of going forward. And I hope we get more information on that here in a little bit with Robert Jacques.
Oh, yeah, he's standing by.
Yeah, he's standing by. Well, good. I'm going to go through kind of our fairgrounds. We're getting ready for the fair. We've done a lot of things out there. We tore down some of the old metal buildings, and we repaved all of that up there. We took down the old railing of the old racetrack. It was just fiberglass railing. It's down. Also, the second arena, it's a portable arena. It's up and ready to function. So hopefully we'll be able to reach out and get some junior rodeo finals and things. As a matter of fact, the gentleman, I believe, that did the asphalting there kind of coordinates that. And he said they'd love to come here because we're central Arizona and our temperatures, you know, aren't way high or low like they are in the southern or northern part of the state. So we're working on that. Right now we're putting out bids for new bathroom facilities that'll be down by the two arenas.
Good.
And there's already bathroom facilities up on the top part. And so we're trying to do a lot with the fairgrounds to encourage more recreation in the area. And
great.
And I'm happy to see that going forward and that the other supervisors are supporting me in that event. Also to Tunnel Creek Bridge, the Board of Supervisors on August 15th, we authorized the budgeted transfer of $970,000 to the transportation excise tax and Gila County General Fund to the Tonto Creek Bridge project.
Good, so necessary.
So yeah, we're already putting money out, and we're supposed to have a groundbreaking, I believe, October 4th. Mm. I don't know that date's set in stone yet, mm-hmm. but anyway, we're moving forward with those projects, and I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad the fairgrounds are getting some things, and that Tonto Bridge is going up. Locally, we're doing some brushing and stuff, and you know, trying to stay up with the roads and things as sure. the rain. When you live in Arizona, you can't say you don't like the water, because we sure appreciate it. We've had a great monsoon season, but we've sure spent a lot of time making people what their roads and things where they can get home and to school and to work, and it seems like a lot of our time spent has been on cleaning roads. But other than that, everything's good. We're moving forward, and it doesn't seem, does anybody have anything for me out there?
Well, I don't know. We'll see if they'll call. But, of course, my favorite project is the TRSD, largely because it had been over a decade where absolutely nothing happened. And we waited and we waited, and it was one misstep after the other. And then, finally, got a new board. Robert Jacques is president, got a new attorney. Things finally are moving. So yes. This is, for many of us, it's the difference between being able to live in a property and not.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people on the border of not. Being able to.
I know.
And if this was not going to go through, the county would be forced to do things that some of them that we are allowing them to pump their systems and things of that nature to kind of be a Band-Aid until the system right. gets going. And so, yeah, I have a great respect for Robert and all the work that he's doing. And so if he's on standby, maybe we can hear from him and get enlightened on what's going on with the project.
Absolutely. So thanks for joining us, Robert.
I've been on here for about 5 minutes.
Excellent.
Listening to you all carry on and all the compliments, and for Tim's last comment, I deeply appreciate that, but I'll say what I always say. It's not about me. It's about the board. It's about our advisors. It's about the project. And yes, it has gone on for a long time, but we had a meeting last Friday down in the valley, and we went over the progress we've made in the last 2 years, and we are really pleased with how far we have come, and we hope the public, the members, the residents of our district are equally pleased.
Oh, I know.
So as far as TRSD goes, I can ramble on and tell you where we are. Some of this you've heard before, some of it not. Or I could open it up to you, Tim, or the public, and respond to questions. I'm really at your command. How would you like me to do this, Raleigh and Tim?
I would love to have some input from the public and questions from the public, but that doesn't seem to happen. I don't know if they're shy or just don't remember the phone number, but I guess I'll start off with a question, and then you're welcome to inform us of the project and some of the things going on. But when I attended the meeting with Congressman O'Halloran, and I had to leave to meet another meeting. And I was just wondering kind of how all of that ended up and where it went after I left.
Well, I think where it went, Tim, we went through the status of the project, where we were on phase one, and just to touch on that for a second. I don't know, how much time do I have, Raleigh?
As much as you want. I don't time this, and you're right. The timing of the project, I think, is on everybody's minds, particularly if they live in phase two or three. They're saying, when can I expect this? Because while there are detractors who are saying, I don't want to pay the bill, there are much more of us who are saying, I don't want the system I got now to fail. I want this in here pronto. So timetables, absolutely, but take as long as you want.
Well, on phase one, we're at 60% design. We're going to be submitting those design packages to the local stakeholders, water company, the railroad, gas company, to have them review it, because we, in fact, are in the vicinity of all those stakeholders, the railroad, the water company lines, the gas company lines.
Mm-hmm.
So we do want them to review that. We have reached out to the residents in phase one with a direct mailing that started back in late April, early May, looking for information from the residents on the hookup to their property. As you'll remember, and as the resident should remember, there is no cost to the resident for our hooking up their facility, their house, to our system. And as part of that project, we sent out over 700 direct mailings to each of the residents in phase one, looking for feedback as to where our connection at their house would be. We got about 350 responses, which is considered quite good for that kind of a mailing. And to echo what you've just said, Raleigh, I can say that 99% of the people are enthusiastic about our coming to serve them. Some of them understand that, look, you know, I'm ambivalent about this, but I know it's good for the public, and so I'm on board with it. But the multitude, the many are so enthusiastic about what we are doing. So that process is ongoing, and it has become very interesting because, as you might expect with residences that are very old, dating back to the 20s, the 30s, we found out some of them have multiple cesspools, maybe two septic tanks, maybe a cesspool under their house.
Oh, God.
And by definition, we can only construct, and we have to hook up at what is called the drip line, basically the outside of their house.
Correct.
And some of those hookups are going to be very challenging, given that there's a cesspool under their house, that there are multiple lines in the house feeding that cesspool, and that there is no clear-cut discharge line, as you would expect. There's no discharge line from that cesspool. The same might be said for septic tanks. And so we are working with with USDA Rural Development and the county for funding so that we can make connections to some of those residences, which are very, very convoluted, if you will, with regards to hookups.
Yeah.
And we are looking for sources of money, and RD has been very good with that. And so that was one of the issues we discussed, Tim, with the congressman. And he was very interested in what we were facing. He has appointed one of his aides, a young man named Derek Duba, who was first-rate, sharp as a tack. And I have to get back in contact with Mr. Duba, that Mr. Duba's primary role with the congressman now is to work with TRSD on all issues of funding. And his presence is really welcomed by the board because you can expect the inflation cycle we are in has impacted the cost of the project.
Oh, yeah.
Having said that, it does not affect the residences, the individuals, the families who are in our district. They are insulated from that inflation because the loan limits for each of the phases and for the entire project are fixed. So we cannot exceed those loan limits. All the additional costs we are looking at, and again, rural development, the congressman is aware of the impact of inflation. All those added costs will be covered by grants.
Good.
So back to phase one, we're working with individual residents on hookups. We have reached the 60% design phase. We are prepared to submit that again to the stakeholders. We anticipate that we will go out for construction bids the first quarter of 23, that's next year.
Good.
We will be preparing construction bid packages the latter part of the fourth quarter. And then we anticipate going into construction on phase one, probably second quarter of next year.
Good.
With an anticipated startup of phase one in the fourth quarter of 24.
Okay.
As far as phases two and 2 and 3 are concerned, we have submitted our preliminary engineering reports and our environmental assessments for both phases in one package to Rural Development at their request, their sense being it would be good for us to be there as funding is available.
Mm-hmm.
So we have submitted those documents. We received today a confirmation from the RD, Rural Development Engineer. He has approved our preliminary engineering report. So now we are in, and we have filled out the appropriate electronic documentation that describes the nuts and bolts of phases 2 and 3 and the absolute necessity for those phases in this project. We await now the end of the fiscal year, end of October, and in November we'll begin to understand the funding that is available to us. We are optimistic on the funding, but we have to wait and see. And our present plans right now for phases, I will give you the phases individually. Phase 2, we expect to begin engineering probably in the first quarter of 23, maybe the second quarter, to begin construction the third or fourth quarter of 24. Following on, let's say, the end of construction phase 1, it would be great if that could be a seamless interchange with a startup probably late 2025, early 26.
Okay.
Then we begin work on phase 3. Phase 3 engineering will probably begin in the fourth quarter of 24, to begin construction the first or second quarter of 26. With a startup of phase three, early to mid 2027. That's considering the two phases by themselves. If in fact we are fortunate and get funding from USDA for both phases at one time, the phase three engineering construction startup will probably be accelerated 6 to 9 months. Maybe phase three then would begin or go into operation and we would be fully built out maybe mid to late 26. But that is, I wouldn't commit to that till I see what we are going to see from a funding standpoint.
You're right. If that doesn't happen, if the phases have to be considered individually, then instead of mid to late 2026, would we be looking, what, at mid to late 2028?
No. My sense is if they're funded individually, phase three, we would be fully built out probably early to mid 2027.
Okay. All right.
As far as the reclamation facility, which again is part of phase one, we are in negotiations. We're in the final stage of negotiations for the site of that reclamation facility. And I am hopeful that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will be able to tell the public where we have gone with that. Unfortunately, and this is like a broken record, I know. Unfortunately, the firms we are dealing with, we have signed non-disclosure agreements.
Sure.
Because of their businesses. And until we do sign on the dotted line with them, until we have something firm from them or with them, we cannot relay. All I can say to you is that the negotiations are going well. It's an incredible time we're in. All I can say is, and I don't know whether Tim was there at the meeting with the congressman, but when we had that meeting, everybody at the table, which included the congressman, the county, the city of Globe, the Miami School District, the hospital, all understands that effluent we are producing is in absolute demand. Everybody is aware of the water issues we face in the Southwest and here in Arizona, and specifically in the globe, in Gila County, both southern and northern, that the demand for water is insatiable. And the fact that we are producing the highest quality effluent really is a great asset for us. I can't say more than that now, but it is an exciting time to be dealing with this issue and the reclamation facility. So what else can I say? I mean, I could go on and on, but I'd rather, if there are specific questions you have, Raleigh, again, or you have, Tim, please fire them at me. I'm more than eager to answer them.
No, mine was just the timetable, because that's what people, especially in, say, phase three, are saying, hey, when can I expect this to be hooked up? Because there are a number of people on pins and needles who clearly are working with the county when their systems fail. But for the most part, if the EPA had anything to do about it, they'd be out of those properties when those systems failed. So it's absolutely a crying need. So you gave us the timetable, and that's all I wanted. Tim?
Yeah, I have no questions, Robert, because usually if something comes up that I have questions about, I just go ahead and call you and ask so I can get the information for the constituents that come to me. And so I've asked most of my questions of you, and I, as far as I'm concerned, you covered everything pretty well as far as moving forward and reaching out and doing the things that you're doing. And I also have a great appreciation for the board and what you guys have been able to accomplish.
Now, someone is calling, and I don't know, it's John. Good old John saves us every now and then, calls, and we appreciate that. John Dreyer, and he's in Tunnel Basin. I don't know if his question pertains to TRSD or not. I was going to talk to him after we concluded this conversation, but let me at least find out if John has anything to say about TRSD. So, John, anything to say about TRSD?
Raleigh, I was calling to wonder what is going on north of our IGA store, that 160 acres or whatever Van Slyke owns is all slicked off. He's lowered the mountains there, and I'm truly wondering what in the world is next.
All right,
now,
well,
my 5 acres is across the street and down the hill a little bit. I have two wells drilled in the Tonneau Creek Aquifer, and they are good wells.
All right. Well,
I'm wondering,
hang on a minute, because
where in the hell are they going to get the water to do that acreage north of the IGA?
It's a great question. It has nothing to do with TRSD, so hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Yeah, I tuned in late.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Hang on. All right, I didn't want to keep you, Robert, since that you got a lot going on in the district. You don't need to take on more. So,
Well, one other thing I will say is we are having our monthly board meeting.
Yes.
Next Monday, a week from today. And it is at the IBEW Hall. We begin at 5:15, and we always welcome public input. And beyond that, as soon as we have reached a conclusion on the negotiations for the reclamation facility and on effluent, we will call a special meeting to advise the public as to where we have landed with that.
Excellent.
That date has not been yet set, but again, next Monday, 5:15, we welcome one and all in our district. Come and talk to us.
Sounds great. Thank you for joining us.
Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And Tim, thanks for all your help.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, talk to you soon, we hope. All right, so there, we got the answers on TRSD. Now, that said, we're going back to John and Highway 188, and I think it's 188, but in any event, what's going on with his property?
John, Supervisor Humphrey here. There are actually two projects going on there. There's one, Roosevelt Cottages, and the other one, I don't remember the name
right
off the top. But
Highway 188, right across from our fire station, they have leveled that whole thing, and I think they're going to want to do a mini mobile home subdivision or some crap like that. But where do they get the water? That's the whole crux of my conversation, my call.
Okay. Where does the water come from?
There are two different projects going on there next to the IGA. One of them has a cease and desist order. The other one has the go ahead. They've done all the research and things, and that project that is going forward has signed its water with Tonneau Basin Water. And so if they sign with Tonneau Basin Water and Tonneau Basin Water says that they'll furnish the water for that, then they have to furnish the water for that. And so that's off the top of my head from my meetings in Tonneau, because I've been asked these questions from the constituents, and then I've prepared the information for my meetings. But, you know, some of this information was like a couple months ago that I have given that information. But yes, I believe off memory that the Roosevelt Cottages, yeah, you're right, they're going to be like a HOA. You're going to be able to, you know, park there for the weekend or whatever, and they're also going to have some mini cottages, but I believe they're signed up with the Tonneau Basin Water.
Now, how does that affect you, John, if it's Tonneau Basin Water?
It doesn't. I am down towards the aquifer in Tonto Basin.
Okay.
But I am very concerned about if they have 122, I think it's what it's going to be, of mini homes, mini, the little homes. My God, I think, Raleigh, they're going to be flushing a toilet with air, not water. And I really, last year we had to deepen our, we have two wells, I mean, right in where they ought to be, had to sink them both some more. This drought is terrible, and I'm just wondering how that's going to go. I don't know any more about it than that, and I'm very concerned about the water issue. And the property won't leach for any kind of septic system, so where does that occur? And I hope Jim and the county is on top of that. That's it.
I would assume that if they're getting approval.
If they didn't have everything up to ADEQ and standards, they would not have a go-ahead to continue with their building. As I say, there has been a project that was in that didn't keep up with what it was supposed to, and it had a cease and desist order. So everything is on the up and up with the Roosevelt Cottages, as far as I know at this point, and that's why they're continuing to go. And you know, you asked the question on a septic. I'm not so sure that they don't have their own system. I can get with Jake Garrett and find out. That's not a problem. Or you can call up to the planning and zoning and ask that if they have an above ground system or their own sewer system that they're going to operate for their individual buildings.
It's interesting.
Yeah, possible if you're going to have 100 and some.
It's a wait and see, so let's wait and see.
Well, yeah, everything's permitted and going smooth with one of those projects.
Yeah, so if it's permitted, you can probably call Payson or whatever to the code enforcement people.
Planning and zoning,
say, hey, what do these permits call for? And I think they got to tell you. As far as the water, since Tonneau Basin is agreeing to provide it, you can call them and ask them where you're getting it.
Well, and if they sign up to...
That's the crux of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where's that water coming from?
Ask them.
I already know that. But let's find out what they have to say.
All right. Let us know.
And I also had a gentleman who is an individual on water specialist for the state of Arizona who talked at my last Tunnel Basin meeting about the water situation in the state of Arizona. So one of these times, you know, come to one of my meetings because we have a lot of information at those meetings.
All right, John. So keep us posted.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Stay in the loop. Okay.
Good
bye.
Deal. Thanks. Yeah, that's okay. That's tough when you're watching a development come in. But as you mentioned, if it's permitted, then that information is public. You can ask.
And if a water company like the City of Globe, if they're signed up to sell you water and they have problems with their wells, they have to buy water. They have to furnish you water.
Yeah, somewhere.
If they say they're furnishing you water. And we've had that throughout county. Some of these smaller water companies have had difficulties or things. They truck in potable water for the people on their systems.
I assume that they can't just, because John's concern obviously here is his wells and his water. Sure. I assume they just can't say, oh, well, we've got to get into the supply now. They can't violate someone else's water.
Well,
I hope.
It's not necessarily a violation, but the cold hard fact of the deal is the person with the longest straw gets the most water. And that's horrible to say, but if you're on an aquifer and someone else wants to drill a well, they have the same right to drill a well as you do. And so right now is there a restriction on how many gallons a minute you can use in your well? No. And so that's a lot of the issues in the state of Arizona. And all over the West is what water looks like in the future.
No, and that's a great concern, because if you have property and you've been using your own wells and here comes somebody with a bigger well, suddenly your water supply may be endangered. And there's, what you're saying, absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Right now, like he said, he just had to go down a little further with his wells to accommodate the water that he was taking from those wells. Apparently, I don't know the individual situation, but yeah, if the aquifer goes down, you got to dig a little deeper, and so infrastructure in the West.
Right, and for an individual, that can be extremely costly. For a water company, they may be funded to do that, but Joe Blow may have a hard time increasing that well.
They might. They might, and a lot of people are on a private well, but they're also on a water system from a water company as well.
Water is an issue. Now, speaking of that, the north part of the county was in the news. I know it's not your district, but it was in the statewide news and all that in terms of no water. Any news on what's going on up there?
No, I haven't been keeping up on that a whole lot because I have enough stuff going on in my own district.
No, really?
Yeah, that I try not to reach out and get my nose too much in other people's business. But yeah, at Pine Strawberry area, water has always been an issue up there. Mm. And what they're using the water for, the businesses they're allowing to come in and don't want to come in, and the water shortage has been an issue up there for a long time. And what I don't believe at this point in time that there's any permanent fix on that area and its water and the infrastructure issues going on there. But Tunnel Basin is looking at that because we have things going on right next to the IGA, and as I said on October about the first week of October, we're going to have a breaking the ground ceremony on the Tunnel Bridge. And how much infrastructure is that going to be to the other side of Tunnel Creek?
Right, ultimately,
because there's 10-acre partials and things over there that there's already been people buying property there. So you're going to look at increased infrastructure. And so what's the water situation look like? That's someone with a higher pay grade than I have. But yeah, there's going to be more infrastructure in that part of our area.
Yeah, and that the water, as you mentioned, that's a huge problem for the entire West, particularly Arizona. Of course, there's no shortage of politicians who want to glom onto this in one direction or another, but I read, and I preface that, because I read something a while ago, always dangerous to read anything on the internet, but nonetheless, supposedly that the state of Arizona was in fact selling water to foreign countries. Is this even remotely possible?
It's possible, but whether they are or not, Raleigh, I don't know. But yes, water is an issue. Protecting water is an issue. Roosevelt was created for the Valley of the Sun to be able to operate. And you know, it's difficult when you have people down there with acreage that are getting, you know, their irrigation, and people up here aren't growing grass to conserve water. So it's going to be a large issue for the state of Arizona, and I look for our state Congress and stuff to our state legislature to mm-hmm. get more involved with water. And they are, and how it's, you know, I mean, everybody wants to regulate water more so, but if you own your own well, you don't want anybody telling you can only take 2 gallons an hour out of that well. So
Right.
It's a major issue, and I believe as time goes on, we're gonna have a lot more issues on water, water consumption, and control of water.
Undoubtedly, that's true. And while if you've got your own well, you don't want to be limited. Also, I think you don't want the other guy to come in and be able to get it all. So there's got to be a sweet spot there somewhere. But no, the article to which I was referring, it wasn't Roosevelt. It was actually on the California border. And, you know, the big headlines, which, of course, are the attention grabbers, story never equals them, but was that we're, in fact, selling water to Saudi Arabia. And I looked at this and I said, is this even possible? And what you're saying is, yeah, it's possible.
Well, if it is, we need to trade them for fuel.
Well, yeah. amen to that. Well, yeah. As it is, they're kind of funding Lucid Motors. So I've been wondering about that a bit too, but that's completely another subject. But if you find out anything about whether we're selling water to the Mideast, I want to know it.
Okay, well, that, you know, that could be a state or federal question. And so, yeah, I'll see if I can find out the answer to that, but that's all I can do is reach out to some of our state and federal people and see if, well, that you said it's the state of California?
Well, no, it's the state of Arizona, but on the California, it's the state of Arizona.
Oh, okay.
No, it's us, supposedly. And again, you know, you kind of got to remember on the internet, they don't know you're a basset hound, so you have no idea who these people might or might not be.
Okay, I can look into that and see if the state of Arizona is selling water to Saudi.
Yeah, that'd be fascinating.
You know, there's a lot of information that...
Well, I'm hoping it's clickbait, obviously. You know,
sure.
That's what you pray it is. But every now and then you say, could this be right?
Yeah, got your attention. Anything's possible in this world that we live in today, Raleigh. I believe anything's possible. So anyway, we just got to keep an eye on it and keep, you know, reaching out. And if there's something going on, we need to know. Like I say, I appreciate the call in, and that's what's going on. And the waters, they're signed up with Tunnel Water. So,
okay.
I think if we have no other call ins, you know, there's a few things I could touch base on. We got some money from the senators on water tanks. We've had up in the northern part of the country bladders for initial response on fires, so that the helicopters can come in and get water for initial fires.
Good.
And good. And, well, they gave us a $600,000 grant, but it's a dollar-to-dollar match, so we only get their $600,000 replace the batteries if we give them $600,000.
Exactly.
And a lot of that is for up in the northern part of Arizona or Gila County. And so we have had bladders up there, and I tried to get the information on how often they're used or have they been used, and I didn't get any information on that as of yet. And I kind of voted against that. The other two supervisors voted for it, and it's not that it's because of the north. It's not because of, I don't believe in fire mitigation, because I do. I just have watched 600,000 acres of my district burn, so I'm wondering how much of those bladders are going to be used for $600,000 of taxpayers' money to be spent on them.
Right.
Also, too, they're drained in the winter and they're filled up during fire season. So one of the big reasons I voted against it is to say, okay, if we're going to have all that water out in the forest, in the places where there isn't any water, I would like to see us team up with Game and Fish or the Forest Service. If we're going to have tanks full of water, why don't we put drinkers for the wildlife and the cattle and things of that nature? If we're going to spend all this money doing it, and we're going to spend all the labor, time, and effort in filling these tanks with water out in the middle of nowhere for initial fire response, let's kill two birds with one stone. Let's get some water out there for the animals and things as well. So anyway, I had some calls on that, and that's why I voted no on it. It's not the fact that I don't believe in getting after these fires and get them out in certain areas. It's that I think if we're going to spend that much money putting it out there, let's get more use out of it.
And so you're calling Tim, but you could call this show as well. And Tim's next opportunity is October 10th, which means that's your opportunity at 5:30, and you can put him right to the wall on the radio, you see. So in fact, maybe it'll give you almost a month to be thinking about what you want to say, but we hope you will call.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that magic number is
888-876-5593. Please make a note of it. All right.
All right.
With that in mind, we'll do it again next month.
Raleigh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. All right. So if you've got any questions, by all means, that's October 10th at 5:30. And don't forget, this will replay on KJAA. That's Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
KQSS Miami.
It's country and more. Gila 101.9.